this afternoon. So go to Esther. Esther chapter 2. Esther chapter 2. We on here there, Brother Blanton? Is this on? We good? Okay. I'm just pushing this out of the way, so I don't want to mess you up there. Esther chapter 2. We're going to look through this whole chapter of Esther. We're going to work our way through it this evening, all right? Try to put yourself there, okay? Let's not stay in Haltom City tonight. Okay, hopefully when you read your Bible, you don't stay where you're sitting. Transport yourself there. Even put yourself in the position of that person. All right? I try to encourage the kids to do that. You know, kids at school, not all of them, but most of them, for whatever reason, I don't like to read. And I thought, because you don't have an imagination. I mean, I remember many times getting in trouble at school because I went to an ACE school just like what we have, and you got your own desk and whatnot, and so when I got done with my work, I'd be sitting there reading, and my teacher would get mad at me because she'd be like, "I called you 5 times and you didn't come." And I was like, "I'm sorry, I was reading. I wasn't here anymore. I was wherever that book is." I'd get lost in the story, and I just, you know, I couldn't help but sorry, I ignored you. I wasn't ignoring you on purpose, but I ignored you. So let's do that tonight. All right, let's go into where this is at. This is my favorite book of the Bible. This is one of my favorite stories of the Bible. I love how God's hand is just seen throughout this whole story, everything that happens. And what's amazing is the name of God is never mentioned. And yet you see God's hand throughout this whole thing. And it's a good reminder for us. And that's what we're going to look at tonight, kind of remind us about some things in our own life. All right? Look at verse 1 there. It says, "After these things, when the wrath of King Ahasuerus was appeased, he remembered Vashti and what she had done and what was decreed against her." You might be asking, what was that? All right, real quick recap of chapter 1, okay? The king had given a big, huge parties. He had just about a year worth of partying, all right? He had 3 different feasts that he did, and they're for different reasons. Well, towards the end there, he had a big one going on there at the palace, and the people were enjoying it as well, and he had a huge party for all his men, and his queen was doing a party for the ladies, and he decided that he was going to have her come dance before all his men. I don't believe that he had good intentions on this. I think the man was drunk. I don't think he wanted her to dance discreetly. I think he wanted her to be indecent. And she decided to rise up and tell him no. Now we say, "Oh yeah, she did. She told him no." But you don't tell the king no. That's the problem. The other thing is this is a wife telling her husband no. On top of all this, so you got a queen, a subject telling her king, "No, I'm not going to do what you said," which you don't tell the king no. And you got a wife telling her husband, "No, I'm not going to do this." Well, the bottom line is, we know the Bible says, pride cometh by contention. Both these people were proud, all right? And it caused contention. And there's just a big blow up. Well, the king gets angry and mad with her, doesn't know what to do. And his advisors, they come up with this great plan. And they said, "Oh, king, you know, this is going to spread throughout all the land. And the greatest feminist movement that you've ever seen is going to rise up in this land. And all the women are going to rise up against their husbands. And they're going to say, 'I'm not going to listen to you anymore.' And we're going to have the greatest feminist movement of all the land to come. So we got to do something about this." It's in there. It's in the Greek, I think. If you go back and look, it's feminist movement. It says it there. And so he decides, they said, "You know what? Demote her from being queen." And so there's this idea that if you demote her from being queen, then all the wives will rush to their husbands and express their love and will say, "We're devoted to you. We're not going to leave you or do anything crazy." The reality is, I don't think it really affected any of the families and the couples. Those that loved their husbands were subject to their husbands. Those that didn't love their husbands, well, their husbands had a fun time trying to deal with their wives. There was problems at home. It was what it was. But they thought they needed to do something. Well, it was God working in all things. And so He demoted her as queen, and some time goes by, and we come to chapter 2, and he's sitting there going, well, his wrath is appeased, but now he doesn't have a queen. And he can't see Vashti again because he's banished her. You know, she's still part of the harem, but she's gone. So what's he going to do now? He's got to do something. So he goes to these same geniuses and says, hey, fellas, what should we do? Verse 2, then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, let there be fair young virgins sought for the king, and let the king appoint officers in all the provinces of his kingdom, that they may gather together all the fair young virgins unto Shushan the palace, to the house of the women, under the custody of Hegi, the king's chamberlain, keeper of the women, and let their things for purification be given them, and let the maiden, which pleaseth the king, be queen instead of Vashti. And the thing pleased the king, and he did so. Now in Shushan the palace there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, a Benjamite, who had been carried away from Jerusalem with the captivity which had been carried away from Jeconiah, king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away. And he brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither mother nor father, and the maid was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took for his own daughter. Now it came to pass, when the king's commandment and his decree was heard, and when many maidens were gathered together unto Shushan the palace to the custody of Hegai, that Esther was brought also unto the king's house to the custody of Hegai, keeper of the women. And the maiden pleased him, and she obtained kindness of him, and he speedily gave her things for purification, with such things as belonged to her, and seven maidens which were meet to be given her, out of the king's house. And he preferred her and her maidens unto the best place of the house of the women. And Esther had not showed her people nor her kindred, for Mordecai had charged her that she should not show it. And Mordecai walked every day before the court of the women's house to know how Esther did and what should become of her. All right, now for a moment, let's try to forget the rest of the book. Okay, most of you probably know the book of Esther. You know what happens. You know what God does. Okay, let's put ourselves in their shoes right now for a moment. Okay, the king comes to his advisors, says, what should I do? They said, hey, king, let's have we got this great idea. Let's go throughout all the land. We'll find all the most beautiful young virgins. We'll bring them to you. And you'll just have a pick of all these beautiful young ladies, and you'll get to choose whoever you want to be king. And we'll give them a one-year purification process, and then they'll come before you one by one until you decide which one you want to have be your queen. And he says, that's a great idea. Let's do it. Now put yourself in those young girl's shoes. It was not they come before you and they say, hey, you're a beautiful young lady, you're a beautiful young virgin. How would you like to come to the king's palace for an opportunity to be queen? That's not what it was. It was, yes, we'd like your daughter. She's going to come to the king's palace. She's going to have the privilege to possibly be his queen. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. You're going to give it to us right now. There's no compensation given to the parents. She's coming with us right now because she's beautiful. So, let's go. The king has commanded it. He's ruled it. You're coming. Now put yourself in Esther's shoes. Granted, these girls, they're somewhere from probably 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 years old. They're young girls. This is often, especially over there, still today is a practice where young ladies are married off to men, often older men, and they don't wait till they're 21. They get them when they're young, and some rich guy comes along, sees a beautiful young lady, and it goes to her father, says, I'll give you 100 goats for your daughter. And he says, that sounds like a good deal to me. So these girls are young. Now put yourself in her shoes. She's in a strange land as a captive. She didn't ask to come. I'm sure she wanted to stay where she was at. Her mother and father are gone. They're dead. They're not in her life anymore. She's got her cousin raising her in a strange land. And now all of a sudden, because she's beautiful, a heathen king says, come on, You get to be part of my harem. This isn't a privilege, because the chances of any one of these girls being chosen to be queen, if they're not chosen, well, you're just part of the king's harem. And you may never see him ever again. And you don't get the opportunity to marry someone else. Now remember, Jewish girl, she's hoping to maybe bear the Messiah. And I'm sure in their mind, they're thinking, I've got to marry another Jew to bear the Messiah. That opportunity for her, in her mind, is stripped from her, because now she's being given to a heathen king. She knows, I'm not going to bear the Messiah now. So that privilege, that opportunity has just been stripped from her. On top of the fact, she may be a spouse to a man who doesn't believe in the God that she believes in. And she has no say about it. That's got to devastate her. And hey, she's a young girl, right? Don't girls, young ladies, find certain young men attractive, and all of a sudden, you know, young love, you know, they're like, oh, so-and-so, he's so cute. How do we know she didn't have somebody that she thought, maybe one day, and that opportunity in an instant is gone? All her dreams, all everything she thought, she, you know, hey, she thought, well, I'm not home, I'm in a strange land. Maybe thinking, maybe one day I'll get to go back home. But she's thinking, oh, we'll make the best of it. I'll marry someone in one of the tribes. I'll be faithful. We're going to still serve God. We'll raise a family. That's gone. All those dreams are gone in an instant. And she doesn't even know that she might be queen. Everything's just crashing down on her right now. Okay, this isn't a good time. Sometimes we read these stories, we just go through them, and we forget, we put ourselves there. And all of this is out of her control. She can't do anything about it. She wants to say, no, I don't want to go with you. I'd rather stay here with my cousin. Leave me alone. And they say, nope, sorry. You're too beautiful. You come with us. Out of her control. Mordecai, there's nothing he can do. Here he is. He has vested in her. He has taken care of her. He's provided for her. He didn't have to do this. Okay, this isn't like, oh, this is my little sister. No, this is his cousin. Now, he's a good man to sit there and step up and say, you know what? I'm going to watch out for my cousin. I'm going to take care of her. He loved her. I believe he loved her like he would love a daughter. And took her into his house and cared for her, provided for her. Here he has spent all this money to take care of her, make sure she's provided for. Gone. Let's keep going. Verse 12. Now when every maid's turn was come to go in to King Ahasuerus, after that she had been 12 months, according to the manner of the women, for so were the days of their purifications, accomplished to it 6 months with oil of myrrh, and 6 months with sweet odors, and with other things for the purifying of the women. Then thus came every maiden unto the king, whatsoever she desired was given her, to go with her out of the house of the women unto the king's house. So, year long, here you go, ladies. Ready? A year long spa treatment. Now, I'm sure you ladies could get behind that one, right? You're like, amen. Every day, you're going to the spa every single day, okay? And they tell us 6 months with oil of myrrh and 6 months with sweet odors. Just every single day, you get spa treated. She had 7 maidens to take care of her, okay? She had it good, but it's still that dread of what's to come. Plus, she had to go through. I'm sure there was a lot of rituals they had to learn. They had to learn how to. Hey, when you go before the king, this is how you are to address him. This is what you're to do. This is how you should present yourself. The common person, I'm sure, just didn't walk up and, you know, hey, I want to go see the king. You didn't do that. You were smart enough to know I'm not gonna go do that. And so they were told, this is what happens. You don't go unless you're called. So there's all these things that they're trying to do. On top of all this, the whole purpose of these ladies is, you are going to go please the king. So whatever that is entails, that's what you do. That's what you do. Look at verse 13, says, then thus came every maiden unto the king. Whatsoever she desired was given her to go with her out of the house of the women unto the king's house. In the evening she went, and on the morrow she returned into the second house of the women to the custody of Sheashgaz, the king's chamberlain, which kept the concubines. She came in unto the king no more, except the king delighted in her, and that she were called by his name. You say, what's going on here? Well, when it came each maiden's time, each virgin's time to go before the king, they got one night with him. They could ask whatever they wanted. They went into the king. And when she left, she was no longer a virgin. She was not allowed to go back to the house of the virgins. She had to go to the house of the concubines. This is what Esther has coming ahead of her. This is what she has to, when I say look forward to, she's not excited about this. This is what's coming. And so every virgin is going in hoping that I'll be chosen. I will please the king enough that I'll be chosen and I won't go to the house of the concubines and be forgotten. Because that house is getting fuller and fuller and fuller. And they're hoping I'll get forgotten in there. Because the only way they'll ever see the king again is if he remembers them and says, I want to see that one. Well, when it came her turn, look what it says in verse 15. Now when the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her to his daughter, was come to go in unto the king, she required nothing but what he gave, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women appointed. Isn't it good that sometimes when you're in a difficult situation, God will bring someone along to help you out? Hegai was that guy that for a whole year, he showed favor to her. For whatever reason, God knew she needed somebody to help her out. And God will do that for you too. When you're going through a time, God will bring someone along to encourage you. And here he has encouraged her to the point that Esther's got enough wits about her. She knows, you know what? I'm about to go before the king. I really don't know him. So she went to him and said, what do you think I should do? How should I prepare myself? I'm about to go before the king. What should I do? And he said, do this. And she said, okay. Does everything that he tells her what to do. Middle of verse 15 says, she required nothing but what he gave, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women appointed. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all them that looked upon her. So Esther was taken unto King Ahasuerus into his house royal in the 10th month, which is the month Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign. And the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. Then the king made a great feast unto all his princes and his servants, even Esther's feast, and he made a great release to the provinces. You folks know what that means? I looked it up to see what that was, great release. It means the tax was lifted. Wouldn't that be great, you know? Yeah. Hey, no, don't have to pay taxes for this time. All right. Don't worry about paying taxes this quarter. We're having a celebration because you got a queen, you know? Amen. That would be great. I mean, wouldn't it be nice? Every time a president goes into office, maybe that quarter we don't pay taxes. I don't know. That'd be great, but they'll never do that, you know? But the king, he was so excited. He said, you know what, folks? To show you how much I appreciate what's going on, no taxes for this quarter. And you know, people rejoiced. And he gave gifts to them on top of it. And gave gifts. I mean, just all around. Giving all around. According to the state of the king. And when the virgins were gathered together the second time, then Mordecai sat in the king's gate. And Esther had not yet showed her kindred nor her people, as Mordecai had charged her. For Esther did the commandment of Mordecai like as when she was brought up with him. Put yourself in her shoes. Here she's in a situation. She's out of her control. There's nothing she can do about it. She doesn't get a say. She has to go through all of this.